Hello, hello, everybody! Welcome back to another episode of
T.
You got to do the N and the O, Jeff. Come on.
N O. I got it.
Yes. Well done. Welcome. In case you haven't noticed, we've got Jeffrey Cook Tonneson from season 7, Island of
Well done for pronouncing that surname right.
Oh, thank you.
It doesn't happen very often, I promise you.
I did spend the whole day practicing it though. So.
Oh, well done.
Thanks. How you been, man? It's been a while.
Yeah, good, good. Nothing has changed. I will address the elephants in the room.
Yeah, the elephant. Do you want to talk about the elephant? You might as well address it. Yeah?
Exactly. One thing that I've said about Survivor, like the one thing that I really took out of it is like an intense binge eating disorder. I just want to eat everything that I could find.
No, that's good. And then how was it afterwards? Did you do that?
I'm still doing it.
Oh, good. Well done. Look, in case you haven't noticed, Tyson, the Terminator, we're not sure where he is. He is MIA right now. But at the moment, we've got Jeffrey. We're super stoked to have him on the show. We might as well just talk about the show and what happened last night. Jeffrey, overall, your thoughts from episode, 15. Well, this is our episode 15. What did you think about the episode?
Yes, it's just crazy. This whole season has blown my mind. I think the biggest thing for me is like all the twists and turns. I'm a huge fan. I know that you're a huge fan as well. And you kind of come to expect certain things. And then like all of these weird twists come into play. The jury that got to do like a luncheon or a breakfast with the ex-castaway or the castaway and stuff. It's just mind-blowing stuff, eh? Flip. And Chappies, what a man.
So are you busy rooting for Chappies? Is that the guy you're supporting throughout, or has he grown on you like the mole on someone's face? I think in Austin Powers, the guacamole.
Yes, the molly.
I
battled with him so much. I couldn't. Right from his first preseason interview, I was like, I can't deal with this guy because he's got that real like hero vibe. I thought he was going to be the Rob of the season, where from the beginning he's going to win. And he's going to like dominate all the challenges. And I couldn't understand why they got him as far as merge. Because I'm like, why do you want to take his physical threat? Because he's going to end up winning everything. And just the last few episodes or so, it's like, this is such a flippin' cool guy. I love how sneaky he is. Like, that's really cool because I was always scared to be too over the top. Because you don't want to like upset people and get voted out because you're doing like the wrong stuff. And he's just like living his best life. He's got his Chappies diner. It's cool. I always root for a good villain though.
Yeah. Do you feel like you missed a couple of beats, or you were the villain you wanted to be on your season?
I don't know if you're ever exactly who you wanted to be when you enter Survivor. Like everybody's got their own like preconceived notion of what they're going to do. But when you're there in the situation, you play a very different game. I didn't expect to get those like intense emotional connections with people. Obviously everybody wants to go back. I'd like to play more of a villainous role the next time around.
So sorry, Jeff, we got some, Najwa was saying, did Tyson vote himself out of this interview too? I don't know what's going on from that perspective, but yes, Tyson did get voted out. A very interesting question. Dino's painted welcome, Dino. Thanks for the kind words. We really appreciate your support and we appreciate you being online with us today. One of the things, and we got Kieran online. Yeah, where is the Terminator? Wow. Kieran, drop the man a message and ask him where he is. He's allowed to come on when he wants to as well. Okay, that's also
He's got to be on speed dial. He's got to be on speed dial.
All right. Okay, but Jeffrey, in terms of how the season's playing out, the twists in particular, if we're looking at the reward that Chappies gets, what did you think about him being able to pick a jury member and also getting to send one home? How powerful is that in the game of Survivor? And is it something that we should see more often?
I think it's huge. It actually literally blew my mind. I think it's such a cool concept. I haven't seen it before. Obviously the getting rid of a jury member it's been done before, but that getting a chance to actually have a chat to the jury member is so cool because like we had our own ideas and they will never really know because my whole Survivor experience to me is such a huge part of being on the jury because I was there for all of it. And yeah, to have a chance to chat to somebody and know what they're thinking. I mean, all that we wanted in our own season was for the people to own their game. And none of them wanted to do that. Everybody sat there and they claimed flipping, I'm a beauty queen, world peace, and that type of stuff. And like, yeah, he actually got a chance to get told that he needs to own that game, which is flipping cool. Very, very lucky.
So Tyson, he's made it, Jeff. I don't know if you want to break the bad news that he nearly got voted out of TNO as well.
Tyson, welcome.
Thank you, guys.
Better late than never.
I was listening to you talking about Chappies and a good villain and everything, saying hi, and I think you guys couldn't see me, so I ended the call and I called again.
Oh, thanks, man.
I saw you
Well,
were
good.
there. That's okay.
He was listening. That's okay. That's all right. That's good. We might as well kick off with the first one then. We've got an icebreaker there for the two of you. We've got Jeffrey and Tyson. First one is, what is it? What is it? Where are we? Oh, okay. I'm here. So would you rather step in a ring with Mike Tyson or go swimming with the great white?
Who answers first?
Whoever wants to go for it.
I will swim with the great whites. I don't like
Jeez.
catching
Yeah,
a cup,
Jeffrey, you can
eh?
go first.
I feel like I deserve the couple, but no, I don't know. Eh? I don't want to get smacked. I'd rather get charred.
I think it's Mike Tyson. I don't think I'd want to stand in front of that guy, so I think I'd also rather go swimming with the great white. There's a better chance of survival.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's fair enough. That's fair. I thought, I was like, I posed the question thinking, we've got the Terminator. I don't know if you see yourself, the Terminator here. This was something that was discussed last week with Kieran, and it just happened you had to be the Terminator. So I was like, no, this guy, he's gonna step into the ring with Tyson because that's his namesake. Also, I
Holy
think,
shit,
Jeff,
wait. No, I'm trying to look closer at the thing behind you. It actually looks pretty sick. I've never seen it before. The Terminator.
Yeah, I mean, it's a reveal for the show. So, that's what it is. We're enjoying it. Also, shout out to, we've got Carla on the line. We've got Kieran. We've got Dino. We've got Warren. We've got Chris. We've got Joe. There are a lot of people waiting for this interview for good reason. Jeff, just in case, I mean, we are starting off on a back foot here because we weren't on before. But just to play or pretty much discuss the rules here, there are no rules. And you get to ask Tyson whatever you want to. And don't wait for me to cue you in. And Tyson, this is about you and your journey. So feel free to say whatever it is that you want to say. We will obviously poke and push the things that we think are entertaining and things that we want to get out of you. So first thing, Jeffrey, knock yourself out, man. Ask the man the question that you've been wanting to ask.
One thing that I've been wondering, Tyson, how much of your game do you think was like an emotional scenario? Was everything calculated, or did you let your emotions get to the better of you in some instances?
I think it's split down the middle, to be honest, because the fact that I had Kieran by my side was a huge bonus because he's strategic all the way through. So when I'd go, I react to things. I'm impulsive by nature, so I wanted to hide that I'm an emotional person, but it came through in the things that I was doing. So I do feel like half of it was emotional, backed up by strategy, or strategy backed up by my emotions.
Yeah, because I did notice that you had a couple of like emotional blowouts type thing, where somebody that had upset you, it seemed as if you couldn't hold back. I can relate to that because I know that I got a lot of flack as well when people are all like, you're playing a game. But I know that when you're in that situation, you're not really playing a game. It's like your real life. And those emotions are very intense. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, you've 100% spot on, because when you're in the game, I'm playing a game, but I'm hungry for real. I'm playing a game, but I'm wet for real. I'm playing the game, but I'm tired, sleep deprived, mentally fatigued, and all these other things that happen to you within this experience, that you stop thinking it's a game. You're actually coexisting with these people. This is the world that you're in as long as you're in it.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I can relate to that.
Yeah, I suppose just from my side, gentlemen, I don't know, I was just getting a bit of a lag there. But I do want to say, from the villainous side, Tyson, if you're looking back at your game, you speak about your game being very unique to the game of Survivor. Would you categorize yourself as a villain, or would you categorize yourself as a hero, or just what's the other type of word, the in between? What would you think?
I think I'm in between. I'm very in between. So, because as much as there's villainous traits to my game, I'm still a very caring person to the people that I chose to care about. And yeah, I did a lot of bad, I did a lot of good. So I think it's somewhere in between.
Okay, that's a fair answer. But in terms of the good that you did, we know you found the idols. I mean, we're calling you the Idol King. There's a post that we've done. I think we've pushed the whole narrative of you coming on tonight being the Idol King. No one can take that away from you. But what are the other good things that you did on the island that no one got to see?
I think with in terms of, funny enough, it's the food and the foraging. Every time I'd go out to get food, it would be for everyone else that was around. So I think I tried to be as helpful as possible. We all used to collect wood, but I used to sit next to that fire every single day, every single night. And I just tried my best to make sure that the people around me were good, because I genuinely was caring, and I genuinely was fair to everyone. So I think that's what would play towards the good. And I mean, with the people that I played with, Kieran and Warda, I gave them my absolute loyalty, trust, and I just cared about them that much that at some moments you forget that you're playing a game and you just want to be good to these people. Do whatever you're doing to me, just don't do it to them, type of mentality.
Yeah, I mean, we did know you were very close with Kieran. I think there's no hiding that. We've seen it on the social streets. We've seen it on the edit. We've seen everything about that. But the Warda quotient to the trio, I'm very intrigued about that one because she came on saying, yeah, she was a key part of the alliance. In your opinion, what kind of role did you play between the three of you in the game?
For me, they played similar roles, but in different ways, because obviously Kieran was the closest person to me in the game. That's without a doubt. But Warda and I had a very good relationship with, I saw her as an older sister. Like, she was that for me. And every time I wouldn't be as keen to sort of get involved and socialize with the other person, Warda used to be my springboard for that. She used to be the bridge between me and Santini, for example. And Kieran did that on his own as well. When I was close to him and he was socializing with other people that I wasn't really connecting with as much. So I felt like for me, being a part of that alliance, they both helped me in that regard. I did my strategizing with Kieran, but Wardo would be involved some, not as much as I did it with Kieran. I would openly admit that every time Kieran and I had anything to do, we'd speak amongst the both of us before we'd speak to everybody else. But Wardo was genuinely a part of that alliance as well. And I wouldn't say we were equals because it's a three, but she was very, very close. I was closer to Kieran, but Warda was right there.
Okay.
Tyson, I've
Jeff?
been wondering, your and Kieran's relationship, it seems relatively rare in the game of Survivor in the fact that you guys were so tight, like literally right from the beginning to the end. Did it ever falter? Did you ever wonder if maybe you should go against him because you didn't want to be sitting in panel two with him? Did you ever con were you ever concerned that he might go against you, or were you guys just thick and tight throughout the whole game?
From my side, I never at any point doubted Kieran. Even when he, because like there's a thing like Kieran and I used to do where we'd sit, strategize, and say maybe he has to go play double agent with these people. He's going to have to go say some things about me or agree to some things against me. But in all those encounters, at never not once did I ever doubt the fact that he's being honest with me and he's genuinely on my side. So I was very happy to sit with Kieran at the end. If the game led that way, because we feel like we would have achieved something a lot bigger than ourselves.
That's amazing. It's
But
very lucky to have a relationship like that in the game where you know without a doubt that there's, neither of the two of you are going to go against each other. So I think that really worked in your favor and Kieran's favor as well. You guys
yeah,
were ready to
definitely.
complement each other.
Definitely,
Yeah. And I
definitely. So
think
thank
from
you.
my side, I think there's a lot of, obviously, you being the youngest player, you playing with a certain level of maturity that others seem to have lacked. Also having a great sense of awareness, which is great. And I say awareness because early on we saw you calling the right moves, which is a great part of the game. And we had, I like the fact that I got Carla on the line because when she was on the line, I still said at some point, Tyson's going to do whatever it takes. And if it means throwing Kieran under the bus, he will at some stage because he looks like he's the sole survivor and he'll do whatever it takes to win. But at some point, you managed to stick with Kieran. And I think that's credit. But what I want to find out is if you did go to the end with him, did you think you would have beaten him? especially when we're looking at from the social perspective. You let him do the social part of the game, and you did the other side of the game. So would you have beaten him if you went to the end?
I think he stood a better chance to win because of the sort of fact that he's probably I had to my game was sort of an unorthodox approach to a jury. That fine, I didn't do jury management. I openly admit that, it's very evident, but I was going to pitch myself in the sense that I played a game so bold and so fearless, and I'm the one who had to prove themselves, like, in front of these guys. I was taking all the hits, and not once did I take the easy way out and try to throw someone else under the bus for being the target, because it's not easy knowing that the entire tribe is coming for you, but and not trying anything to sort of sway and point at someone else that's right next to you and throw them under the bus just to save yourself. So I would have pitched the fact that I didn't play it scared. I played it in front of all you guys. When all of you came for me, I stood right in front of you and said, "What's up?" So I would have tried to appeal to the respect of the game that I played and not against Kieran.
And you would have legitimately, you would have sat there in the final two or three with Kieran. Would you, were you never concerned about that? Or that's cool. Because I've never understood that. I don't understand why people would take the strong people with them. I would go for like the weakest player I can find to up your odds. Even this week when Chappies was considering keeping you. I was like, that is such a bad move. That is a dumbass move. Because if he had kept you and he had gone up against you, there's a good chance that he wouldn't have won.
Even when I was speaking to Chappies during my pitch, I told him what I was telling him. But then I still said to him, like, I understand that you want to maximize your odds of winning. So you would sit with someone weaker than myself. So I understand that logic. It's the best way to go, honestly speaking. But the bond Kieran and I had created and our goal to sit there at the end together was so cemented in my head. And I trusted in that vision 100% that I wanted the game to move that way. I wanted to be a game changer where everyone's expecting me to go against this person. I don't know how many people asked me if I'd eventually try to vote against Kieran, but my answer was always no. I never lied about that.
That's cool. Always,
that's the name I'll never write down.
And I do believe that Kieran probably felt the same way. I think that's why you guys are such a great team. And I think you guys came close, eh? You were almost there. Yeah. I actually would have liked to have seen that, the showdown, because how do you even lobby against somebody when you guys are that tough in the game?
Yeah, I get you.
Tyson, we've got Joseph here asking a very nice question. He's saying that fire making challenge a few episodes ago was epic. That's the first thing he says. And then he says, did you know how to build the fire before going to the show? And what did you think of Sean's commentary while you were doing or while you're watching it back?
Firstly, going into the fire challenge, I'd never touched a flint. Never mind using one. I'd never touched a flint in my life. So there's a moment where the setup was being made for the fire challenge and Chappies was giving Santini some pointers. I just eavesdropped on what Chappies was saying. And that's what I applied when I tried. Like, I tried to figure it out. And then I remembered what Chappies was saying to Santini. I applied that and I made the fire. And, you know, the rest is history. So, yeah, I'd never done it. I still haven't. That's the one and only time in my entire life that I've touched a flint.
So had you never used the flint before that?
Sorry?
Mm-mm. Had you never used the flint before that?
No, I'd never even touched those. The first time I saw a flint, like the first time I saw it was, there's a reward challenge that happened in the season where the one tribe got, Chappies won the thing from Jason, against Jason. And I still never saw the flint. But when Nico was tossing it to the other tribe at the challenge after that, that's the first time I saw a flint. So I'd never seen one. I'd never used one. And now I have to fight for my life using this thing that I'd never even seen in my life.
Well, how confident did you feel going? did you feel going into that fire making thing, Tyson? Because it seemed to me like you were quite confident. I must be honest, watching it, I was like, Santoni literally does not stand a chance. And then it seemed to have been quite tight. Did you get a fry?
The thing is, I kept hearing the commentary and I kept hearing like the reactions. because she had it going a lot sooner than I did. But I knew that I can't look over. And the one thing that genuinely for me, it was like, I fought so hard in this game so far. I've done so many things. And to lose my spot in this game in a challenge against somebody who had never won a challenge, that would have crushed me. So that was like, just don't lose. Just don't lose. Just keep going. Don't lose. Don't lose. And it worked out.
Some stressful stuff.
Tyson, before we move on from the Kieran thing, I think Hilchard's asking you a really good question. He's saying, had you made it to the end with Kieran, what would you be, or what would be your plea to the jury to win over Kieran?
It's the same thing that I'm saying. Like, I never played it scared. For me, that was the biggest thing that I wanted to show people, that the conventional way, I used to hear so many people saying, I don't want to come across as the leader. I don't want to look like I'm doing this. I don't want to look. So I wanted to say, you can do this and get to the end with it. And the only thing that I did more than anybody else was, I put my money where my mouth is most of the time. Even when you came for me, I never folded. I stood my ground. And when I had to do the same thing like the fire challenge, when I had to put my money where my mouth is and play idols in a way to save an entire alliance, I took the biggest risks. I'm the one who basically stood. It was like a baptism of fire throughout that whole season. And I stood my ground. So that was my main thing against Kieran. I knew that Kieran was more social. I knew that he's going to pitch a straight. Kieran's the most articulate person as well. So it would have been extremely tough. But I wasn't at the back of my mind, it was also the thing of, if my approach doesn't work, there's still nobody else I'd rather lose to than Kieran.
Yeah. And talking about your big, bold moves, I mean, the one game change, so to speak, Jeffrey was talking about before you hopped on in terms of Chappies being a big threat. You know, you kept him around. You obviously saved him. You gave him the idol. That was a big, bold move. And it seemed like there was some sort of rapport between the two of you, but that relationship quickly unraveled. And I don't know if you want to touch on it, because one of the things Cornet is saying here, saying, do you regret the way or your relationship or lack of relationship with Chappies unfolded? So what went wrong there?
I think with Chappies and myself, we were never really close or free. Like, we played the game. He played it on one side. I played it on the other side. He was always that way doing his own thing. I was always this way doing his own thing, because I figured very early that we're two personalities that are definitely going to clash at some point. So I kept my distance from this guy. But I was willing to work with him. Like, everyone at that six-man alliance at Merge was everyone I was prepared to work with at that point. And up until I heard that they were coming for me, that's when I changed. I felt like I retaliated, reacted more than instigated everything that happened. I reacted to the selfishness because I was a selfless person around camp. I reacted to people coming for me because I never came for anyone first. So it's just those things. So I feel like we're just completely these two strong personalities, and we played it on a different side. So it was bound to be a clash because we disagreed on a lot.
And then looking back at it, where you say you respect his gameplay, but you don't respect the man, do you still share a similar sentiment, or has that altered a little bit?
No. Looking back, obviously, I understand that it's a game. But when you're in the game, it's not a game to you, because like the same thing we were saying earlier, when you're in the game, you're so consumed by everything happening to you because it's actually happening. When you're looking at it and watching it from TV, it's entertaining. Like, oh, this guy's a piece of shit. Oh, that's entertaining. This guy's so sneaky. That's entertaining. But when you're on the receiving end of that, it's not as entertaining. It's not as fun. Exactly. So I respect the gameplay. It's very entertaining. It's very smart to get people that riled up to a point where maybe they're losing focus and they start focusing on you more than focusing on their own game. It's brilliant. But when you're on the receiving end of that, it's not as impressive to you. It basically puts you off. So, I mean, I know Chappies now. I respect him as a man. The game is entertaining, but when you're on the receiving end of that game, you know, it becomes more than just a game to you, because it's basically real life for that moment.
Yeah, but then, so on that note, when you come out saying, you know, if you had to play again, you play more aggressively, would you take a little bit more from the Chappies handbook if you had to play again? Or what else do you mean by in terms of playing aggressively? And I suppose, Jeffrey, if you had to play a game, also I'm posing the question to you, what would you do differently once Tyson's answered?
Yeah, it's actually quite strange, because our task was mentioning again about how, you know, people don't understand by watching it. how intense it is when you're actually living in that situation. And it's strange for me because the people that I backed have been, like, if I think about it nicely, because I mean, I was there, I would really have disliked them. I mean, like, Santini is quite confrontational, and Chappie's with the ceiling first. I mean, I was hungry. I was hungry when I was there. So, yeah, I don't know. In my mind, I would like to play a more DMS game. I'd like to be more like Chappies with my own little diner around the corner and throw people's socks into fire and those types of things. but, yeah, you know, you'll never know until you're actually there. I think if you're living the situation, it's just going to just feel real, though.
Mm. And on my side, I feel like I wouldn't take the food stealing and all those things that Chappies was doing from him. But I'd definitely be more aggressive in the sense that there's certain things that I used to hold back on doing. Like, I didn't say certain things because I didn't want to upset people, or I held back from being as involved in other things because I felt like I was like, it's just, if I had to go back again, I wouldn't hold back. And it'd also be aggressive in the sense that I'd be more social. So that makes me, that puts me in better positions to deceive more people, because I never played a deceptive game. I always stood where I stood and strategized with the people around me. I was never the one going around and, you know, misleading people or lying and saying I'm going to vote this. So everyone knew that I wasn't. If I wasn't voting with you, you knew I wasn't voting with you. That's the kind of player I was. But more an aggressive side would be being more devious like these other guys and finding more ways to outwit, as opposed to being so rigid and standing on one side.
Yeah, so then on that note, though, and say if you're looking back and you're seeing a possible missed opportunity and going, if I would be more social, that moment with Inesu, I mean, when we're watching her back on TV, it's case in point. You're choosing not to engage with her. That's where she drew the line in the sand. And the script for her changes, but she's going to start coming after you. Do you think maybe, looking back at it, that was something you could have cultivated slightly better?
Yeah, most definitely, 100%. And another thing would be my relationship with Nicole. Nicole spent the most time with me more than anybody else at camp because we shared two tribes together. And, you know, once Kieran was gone, Nicole was the only person I'd spent more time with, the most time with. So, but Nicole and I being that close in the game or being each other that much, we never talked about the game at all. Not once did Nicole and I sit as a pair and talk about a strategy of some sort or try to fight. We never did. Like, we always just cordial, you know? So those are things that I'll try to do more. And, you know, I'd make more of an effort on the social part, because in this, I just felt like I got so consumed. And when that happens, I'd rather retract, because I know that I can be rude. I know that I can be aggressive. I know that I can be confrontational. So I'd rather distance myself from you know, engaging with these people, just to save myself from basically lashing out and being impulsive in what I do, because I'm very impulsive.
It's fair enough. I suppose we've got a question that's been on everyone's lips and one you've probably answered all day. Why Nicole, Tyson? Why Nicole? I think I've touched on the fact that Dino's already, he's okay. Defended your case on Twitter. If you haven't seen it, go see what Dino's opinion is. But we're going to hear it straight from Tyson and hear his rationale behind the decision not to work with Tyson, with Chappie, so to speak.
Okay, so I read Dino's thing and it's not far off at all. But like basically, how it started was after my conversation with Chappies, he tells me I'll think about it, right? So I go back at camp and I'm going about my day now knowing that I'm waiting on Chappies' decision. And just before we leave for tribal, he calls me to the side and he says, I'll vote with you. I've made up my mind. I'll vote with you. So he's doing that to give me false hope just for the sake of messing with me. And he says this to Smash. That comes back to me through Smash.
Oh, wow. Right?
So I'm going into tribal council knowing that this guy is messing with me. He doesn't know that I know, but I know that he's messing with me for the sake of, you know, giving me false hope. And then we get to tribal. We find out it's a final two. Now Chappies calls me to the side and I'm thinking, okay, he's taking another moment to mess with me one last time, one last moment of deception before I leave the game. And at the same time, I'm looking at that final three he's proposing of Chappies, Nicole, self. I'm injured. Wins challenge. I'm not going to beat Nicole and I'm not going to beat Chappies. I can try to beat Chappies at endurance, but I'm not beating Nicole. I know that for a fact. So it's a final three-way. If Nicole wins, Nicole, in my head, they're both going to pick each other and I'm going to be third anyway. So what's the point? The final three that looks more appealing to me is Anila, who I have had a relationship with since Zamba, and Chappies. If Anila wins, by any chance, you take me. And if I win, I'll take Anila. That's a higher probability to win as opposed to being in a three with Chappies and Nicole, where I'm basically going to be third anyway. So I'd rather take a risk on letting Anila decide how it goes as opposed to letting Chappies, who I didn't genuinely believe at the time.
So then looking back at it and seeing Anila's decision, what did you think about it?
I understood, because they'd already expressed while Kieran was there that they're going to vote me and Kieran out. It's with respect. They don't want to sit next to us at the final. So it was a thing of, I understood, because Chappies kept winning so much, it derailed everything we had planned. So at that point, I didn't hold anything against Anila. I understood the decision. Obviously, I would have liked it to go another way. And the reason why I say I don't regret it is because I played my whole game on taking risks. So I took one last risk on hoping Anila's going to flip. Before I went to vote, I turned back to him and said he knew where my vote was going, and the words I said to him were, stick to the plan. That was the last thing I said to Anila. So I took a risk on Anila's flipping his vote, because he's the proven flipper in the season, as opposed to trying to work with Chappies, who I was already so upset at for trying to mess with me just for the sake of it.
Yeah, I think that all makes sense. I don't know, Jeff, do you want to add on anything? Any other angle that maybe you missed? But when you're hearing it straight from Tyson's mouth, I don't think anyone can fault him for doing that.
Yeah, it's making a lot more sense to me now. I was wondering, like, who else did you think was voting with you? But, I mean, if you legitimately thought Anila was voting with him, there's been so many twists in the game, no one really knows who's going to pull what out. What else do you do? And you're at the bottom like that, you scramble for whatever you can find.
But no, most definitely,
at the moment, continue. Sorry, I've just got a bit of a lag here, so forgive me. No, go ahead.
Nah, carry on, bro. Now, I was basically just echoing what Jeff was saying, because there's so many things that happen. There's so many conversations that happen, and even within that tribal council, it was chaos in a sense. So all these things that happen, and in the moment you feel how you feel, and at the end of the day, it's a game where you can't trust anyone, but you have to put your trust in someone. And at that stage, Nicole, I'd never worked with or talked to about Survivor at all. Chappies is my rival, and Anela is the only other person I'd ever worked with. So let me trust that, because there's a higher probability there, maybe, that it works out for me. And it didn't, but I still don't regret it, because it was an informed decision based on what had happened and the relationships that we had.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And when you're looking back at you speak about the relationship you had with Nicole, was there nothing, no inkling going, maybe I can persuade Nicole, yeah, but I suppose you wanted to get out. But when you leave,
No. I'm saying with Nicole, I knew I couldn't persuade her. I knew, because Kieran was so close with Nicole, and even he failed. So I knew that I can't persuade Nicole, but I can with Smash, because Nicole and I are very, very cool. I like her so much. And then, but Smash were genuine boys like that. Like, we obviously started our secret alliance at Zamba, and we'd never lied to one another. Even when he blindsided Kieran, he kept my name out of it. And then we got to the five. He's the one who brought up my injury so that they vote for Kieran before me. And he kept me up until he couldn't keep me anymore. Maybe because so on that, that's what I'm thinking.
But on that note, Tyson, the League of Shadows, how did that come about? Who came up with the name?
Sorry, I'm just trying to charge my phone so it doesn't die. Anela came up with the name, but it obviously comes from the relationship that Smash and I established at Zamba. Smash and I established this relationship at Zamba. Kieran is also around because Kieran is close to me, so it makes sense for them to sort of have a relationship going. Smash expresses that he wants to work with us, and at that point, I was interested in working with Anila. But because Anela and Warda had them, it was hard to get them lines. So Smash and I had an agreement that, okay, you'll play a game that way, I'll play my game this side. When my name comes up, you tell me, when my name, when your name comes up, I'll tell you. Because Smash and I had that understanding all the way through, and we genuinely got along. We liked the same music. We used to rap the same songs almost every day. And once it made sense to actually have an actual alliance, then it just happened, because I'm already close with Smash and I'm even closer to Kieran. So Smash gave us that name, and, you know, the rest is history. Didn't last that long after we named it, but it lasted before we had a name.
Jeff, is there anything else you want to ask while we've got the man in focus?
No, I think that he's covered most of the bases there. I know that you said that you approached Anela because you weren't quite sure if, you know, you were going to be able to get Nicole on your side. And I know that you also touched on the fact that you hadn't really spoken much game with her. And I do understand as well how difficult that can be, because I had the same situation with Letitia in my own season as well, where I'd kind of written her off thinking that she was going to be like an early boot. And then by the time I actually needed her, I hadn't actually spoken game with her. So, yeah, I understand. I think that you can go out knowing that you literally did exhaust every option. I'm not quite sure what else you could have done in that instance.
Yeah.
Even going to Chappie's and pleading that whole, do you want to sit next to somebody who's strong or weak? It's literally all you could have done. He would have been very stupid to have gone for it, but I understand. I mean, it's one of those situations. The game plays you, throws you those curveballs where you've just actually just kind of got to accept your fate sometimes, and you get a good fight. So.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
Yes, Tyson, if we had to look at you and we had to say between Kieran and yourself, and we look at the Chelsea squad, who's Lukaku and who's Mason Mount?
I think I'd be Lukaku and Kieran's Mason Mount, because it's just I was more brute than he was. Like I was more aggressive than he was, and he's more, you know, calculated. He's more behind the scenes. He's more putting in the work that actually matters, that I look good off of. So it was that good balance, and I think I was Lukaku, and he would have been the creative behind that. Yeah.
Oh, nice. We've got Chris Dixon saying he wants to ask about your family visit, the brotherly love that appears to you have with your friend. How, like, what is this friendship like? How way back do you go?
The thing, Anita and I, we knew of each other since like high school, but we never really became friends until about 2018. But once we became friends, it's like, it's in a way, it's in the same thing like Kieran, because we hadn't known each other for long once we got together, but you get to know this person's mind and you just click instantly. I like having like-minded people around me. So the reason why, you know, Kieran, I got that close with him because I respected the way he thinks and his personality. And it's exactly the same as Andy.
Oh, nice. So now you got two brothers.
Yeah, definitely.
Jeff, do you still talk to any of the people from your season that you have similar relationship or not quite?
Yeah, it's actually quite crazy how these sort of intense emotional connections come in such a small amount of time. I'd always promised myself before I got into the game that I'd never let that happen. And I mean, you guys are suffering together, so you're like literally almost dying in the shelter. So there's a few of them that I love very, very much. There's a few of them that I really still can't stand. I can't even like bury the bridges. But yeah, no, I still speak to Mikey. I'm actually seeing him this weekend. Still have a chat to Mubba every now and then. And apart from that, life is just busy. Every now and then we'll check in with each other, the rest of us, but you know, not so much.
Okay. Well, that's all right. That's okay. But Tyson, in terms of the first time, the family visit, Joseph saying, you know, Santini has said it was the first time she saw you smile was at the family visit. Is that true? Did you only smile that time during the whole game?
I think there's truth to it, because a lot of, well, everyone else mentioned that it's the first time they'd seen that side of me. It's the first time they'd seen me happy and showing emotion like that. Because for the most part of the game, I chose to be emotionless and just be no poker face all the way through. And when I look back at it on screen, it's a lot worse than I thought it was in my head. It just looks like I'm mad all the time and I'm just angry and quiet. And so I think, yeah, she's right. I never really smile that much.
So is that something you would do if you had to play again? Smile a little bit more?
Yeah, I would be a lot friendlier and more. Yeah, because, I mean, in order to be social, you have to be more friendlier than I was. So it's definitely something that I'd add to my game.
Yeah, and was there any point in the... Oh, sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Did you find, Tyson, at any point in the game that you were able to just relax and be yourself besides family visits? Or was it always game on? Because I know, like you said, that watching it back, you always look angry. I remember watching back mine, and I just looked so concerned and worried the whole time. So did you find it like a time in the game where you were just able to just sort of be yourself?
The first time I found it, I found that time in the game was when Chappie, Smash, and Santini went off to the immunity challenge, and Nicole, myself, and Kieran were the only people left at camp. Nicole went to catch a tan and she was gone for quite a while. So it was just me and Kieran around camp. And I finally had to relax. I got a chance to relax and not think about anything else, having conversations with people. So I think that was the very first time. Then we could take a moment to recharge and, you know, not think about the game.
I didn't catch much of that. Did you catch any of that, Jeff?
I got the gist of it, I think. So you were saying that at that stage you were able to just sort of relax.
Can you guys not hear me?
You're sort of breaking up a bit.
No, but you're fine now. You're good now. But we didn't
catch you're good. You're back.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tyson, you speak about how taxing you were. Or how taxing it was to be this Terminator sort of figure. No, we're just going to go with the Terminator as the metaphor. And as soon as you get back, as soon as you get back to Ponderosa, you're like, oh, it just feels so good to be myself again. It feels good to wear my heart in the sleeve. How hard was that to play the game and then just trying to contain all of that? Because Jeff touches on the fact that, you know, there are points where we see you have your outbursts. But how taxing was it on you personally, apart from not eating and everything else, just to be able to be like, you know, I can't really be myself?
It was very hard because, I mean, in my experience, added on to the fact that you're hiding a part of yourself from everyone else is coming for you. So being an emotional person and being a passionate person like myself, you're coming back from tribal council and you know you have to now coexist with these people that just written your name down, and all those things were tough. So what I did was invest all that emotional stuff on one person, which was Kieran. That's why when he left, I cried, and it was genuine tears because I decided that I'll pour it out on this one person. I'll care about this person, and you know, I'll be genuine to this person, and everyone else doesn't get to see that. So investing it in one person, I think, is what helped, but it was extremely difficult because there's a lot of moments where I had to bite my tongue or I couldn't react, and I had to like tame my impulses, which was extremely hard. So I think, yeah, it was very, very hard for me.
And your injury, how's your injury doing now? You're right.
Now, 2 weeks after we left, I was fine again. So I'm all right now.
Okay, that's good. What was wrong exactly? Just so everyone knows, because I still asked the question last week going to Kieran saying, was it not potentially Tyson trying to weaken himself so he could go one step further in the game? And Kieran's like, no, bro, that was never on the cards. He was genuinely hurt. So I'm just curious, what was the issue there?
I was genuinely hurt. And you know, the opposite of what you said actually happened, because when we found out that these guys are going to write Kieran's name down, I tried to stand up in camp in front of Smash and Nicole and do some squats, acting like I'm fine again to make them reconsider. Yeah. I don't know what it was doing, but I was trying something to not make them vote for Kieran. So, but what had happened was at the challenge that Chappie's second win, the ropes thing where I had an advantage, going through those ropes, I think I pulled a muscle in my thigh, like awkwardly or something, but I just kept going. So every day after that day, the muscle in my thigh just kept getting worse and worse in terms of hindering my movement and just being sore. So that 4 days down the line, I think, where we had where we had the buckets challenge, hanging and hanging buckets, and you know that Chappies won that. So when we had that, like when Nico says survivors ready, go, because it's the first time I had to sprint to a point, I took three steps and I started limping. I took three steps and stopped, and I started limping that whole challenge through. That's when I knew that like there's something wrong. So to me, it felt like a tear, but it wasn't that bad to know to be pulled out of the game.
And then when that happens, do you get treatment straight afterwards, or how does that work?
When it got worse, because we were walking to the final five immunity challenge, I think, and the walk from the beach to the challenge site was the first time I had to walk a distance. And for me, I stopped halfway through because I couldn't walk anymore. So then they get the medic to come check you, and that's when I got the strapping and other stuff. So you basically get checked if you're good enough to continue with the game, or if it's bad, then they tell you that. I was just hoping, because like before we left, I said to these guys that it's like going out in the semifinal, going down and you can't play. You're already there. You want to participate in all the games. So I was just hoping it's not bad enough to be pulled off.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad. Chris Dixon having a question for Jeffrey, saying, who would you have aligned with on the season had you played?
Yeah, it's difficult because I think you've got to really be there, because even in my own season, the people that I aligned with weren't people that I would have aligned with in everyday life. To me, I believe that the person I would have got along with would have been maybe Santini, because I think our personalities are quite similar. But I honestly don't know. I really don't. I suppose I would have just taken whoever would have me at that point.
Looking back at it, between the two of you, when you had to see the season play out, now you're off the island, were there certain things that you said that you kind of regretted, or certain things that you said where you were like, no, I'm happy that I said that?
There's very little that I'm happy with. The whole thing played out. I'm happy with the edit. There's not much. There's people that I wish. When you're in the situation, you play it to best your ability, and I'm quite happy with it. So.
Yeah, and for me as well, I don't think I regret anything that I said, because at that moment, in my position, I'm not a Survivor super fan, so I was never really aware of. Like the things that happened with Chappies, those things were affecting me personally, because like it's happening to me, you know? So in those moments, I don't regret my stance on it, but looking back, I wouldn't hold the same approach, because now I understand the game a lot more. So it's just those things where I'm proud of the moments where I was extremely perceptive and I was calling things exactly how they were happening. So those things, I'm like, yeah, every time I saw that happening, I was like, yeah, I'm proud I said that, because, you know, it's a good read on the game. But yeah, I don't think I regret anything that actually went on. I wouldn't have went on the rant at Tribal Council if I had to do it again, but I don't regret the fact that I did, because it was entertaining.
Yeah, no doubt. That was solid entertainment.
I was literally just Tyson thinking of the same situation when I went on that rant with Dante and Merrill in my season as well. Maybe I do regret that. I do think that I was trying to I was trying to play this massive game and actually ended up shooting myself in the foot.
before we move on to the golden spear and the wooden spoon section of the show, when you leave, Tyson, you say you smash all the way. Now I'm curious, and I'm going to also ask Jeff, when we're looking at the final three left, who, firstly, from a Jeff neutral perspective, who are you leaning towards as a fan and as a former player of the game?
I really do believe that Chappies deserves to win. I think that he's ticked most of the boxes. I can't imagine that he was pleasant to play with. I touched on it earlier on. I think if I had played with him in the game, I would have despised him to this day. But he's been a challenge beast. His social game hasn't been so great, I suppose, but he's got the outwit and the outlast, but 100%, with the stealing food so that he can dominate those challenges. Out of the three, to me, he's a forerunner, clearly. And then probably second, Nicole, and then Anela.
And then, so then, as Tyson, it begs the question, when you did get voted off and you're like, smash all the way, is that just because of the relationship you had with him personally, or because when you looked at his game and the parts that you know that he played that we seemingly aren't seeing, is there something that we're missing in terms of what he has to offer, in terms of what he has done in the game?
The reason for that comment was my last day at camp, after I feel like I've done all I can to try and get these people to turn one of them and save myself, I accepted my fate. So, okay, I'm going out. So what Smash and I ended up doing was I ended up giving him pointers on how to pitch to a jury, because Smash is very articulate. He's a rugby coach. Everyone likes him. And he's been to the most tribal councils. So I was like, in a sense, like we were going through his game and hearing what he had to say and what to add to his final pitch or whatever. So I supported him as a brother in that regard. But also when I walked out of tribal council and the interview that you guys see at the end of the episode, I said they asked me who I believe will win the final challenge, and I said who I believe will win the final challenge, and that decision also informed why I said, okay, I think Smash is in a very good position to win if it happens. But obviously, I said it back at camp, Chappies has the best resume. I said, if I'm not there, you definitely have the best resume. That's no secret. I mean, the man's a beast, and he's done really, really well for himself. So, yeah, I think that decision was more motivated by the fact that Smash was really close to me at that point, and I was just in support of him. Because even when I walked out, I just said to Smash, bring it home, boy.
Okay. Interesting. I like that. I like seeing that. But now, okay, we're going to move on. And we're going to go time for the Golden Spear. And this is the moment in the show where we discuss about the player who made the best move for the episode. And obviously, we know the numbers are dwindling, so we've got less nominations. But we're going to start off with Jeff, and he's going to nominate who he thinks. Who, by the way, you've won a Golden Spear in the past, just putting that out there. But you're also going to say...
That's amazing, yes. highlights of my life. I do think that the Golden Spear has to go to Chappies. Only because he won that challenge. He got all of those advantages. I'm all for the food stealing. Like I said, if I was there, it would be awful. But he's really, and he's owned his game as well. I mean, he's literally saying to the people, I'm stealing your food. Here we go. And I think when you're playing the game, you're so concerned about what people think of you. And me being on the jury for as long as I was, all you really want is for someone to own his game. So the fact that he's able to own his game, if he carries on doing it, he's won all those challenges. I think he's the clear winner in this episode.
Are you agreeing with that, or do you have someone else to mention there, Tyson?
No, my thing with the Golden Spear, I'd also be Chappies, because at this point in the game, as much as strategically, I'd lean towards Nicole because she didn't fold. She kept her vote, and it was to the best of her interest. I didn't feel like Chappies' vote was strategic at all. It was just because Anela had just beaten me. Maybe let's vote him out. But I do give it to Chappies because at Final Four, if he doesn't win, he's leaving. And he doesn't really matter. You need that immunity. And winning that thing is the biggest thing in the game. Like all the conversations that are happening and all the confusion, he's the only one who knew he was safe because he put himself in that position. So I'd have to give it to him.
Yeah, fair enough. And I suppose he does get huge advantage in terms of the reward, getting an Esu on his side, getting rid of Warda, which is also very interesting.
Definitely. I mean, that's also a huge thing to be able to speak to a jury member and also vote someone out.
Epic.
In a way, if there's really a four, if there's really like a split down the middle within the votes at the end, and you had influence in getting someone out and swaying the votes one side, I mean, that's also another huge thing that you could have done for the whole season. So definitely I'll give it to him.
And out of curiosity, once he did that and once he had that lunch with Anesu and he came back to camp, was there a change in his demeanor? Was there a little spring in his step?
You know, Chappies is such an awkward and weird character sometimes. You just, certain things you don't even read too much into. You're just saying, oh, this Chappies being Chappies. But he definitely did come back with like full of life. And because to him at that point in the game as well, another thing to filter in was he was certain that the game is over. He said, okay, now that I've made Final Three, he was sure that it's a Final Three and he's won. So he's basically done. He's made it. He's made it in. He's won the season. So he was just moving a lot more confidently. being a lot more easy. So I didn't read much into what the breakfast was about, but we all knew that it was an issue. We said it amongst ourselves.
Okay. And I think you guys, you're happy with your nominations. Are you, there's nothing else seeping in there. Maybe Nico for maybe bringing to the table and saying, listen, guys, you know, it's not a final three, it's a final two.
I think that was the biggest twist. That was the one thing that punched them in the mouth, because it was something completely unexpected. Like, everyone was so relaxed. Like, it was switched off. Easy vote, Tyson's out. But that whole twist and what it did to that tribal council and the confusion it caused, and, I mean, it ended up being a 2-1-1 split where it could have been a 2-2 or just a 4-3. So, yeah, I think, yeah, that was a twist that nobody expected. Kieran actually pointed it out early in the season that he thinks it's a final two, but he's the only person that I ever heard saying it.
And what made him point that out? I don't care, because everyone thought it was a final three, which I don't understand why, because normally it's not, we don't normally
let
get
me
back
tell
to
you
back
something.
Season.
Let me tell yes. you something. Kieran mentioned that there's going to be something where Jury Member gets voted off. He said that.
He called her.
With his,
how did he call
he
her?
He said that in the island. He said that because we were looking at there's 12 people, but he thinks it's going to be a final two. If it's a final two and there's 10 jury members, one has to get voted off. And he literally called it that there might be something where Jury Member gets voted off. He said this, like, I can back him up 100%. He called it. So he's the only person, because everyone else didn't think that would happen. So he's the only person who saw it that way.
But he was incredibly...
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was saying he was incredibly perceptive. But actually, at some of the points as well, when I was watching, I'm thinking, how do you know this? How did you pick this up? Like, you'll just read into a body language or something. It's incredible. It's incredible. So it's a good thing to watch.
Yeah, it's extremely perceptive. And I was next to it literally every single day. So I knew how this guy's mind works. And that's why I was so focused on playing this game with him, because I knew that my game was in the right hands. I was strategizing with the right person. And I genuinely felt like outside of the two of us, there's nobody else who can match us with strategy, just because of how we look at things. And it helped the fact that I was coming into it with a blank page. So I wasn't so survivor crazy in the decisions I was making. And it balances out someone who's a super fan. And also a strategic mind. So
were you guys, you or Kieran, you're breaking up a little bit. Were you and Kieran ever concerned about throwing a target on your back by being so close to each other? Did you ever try to, like, downplay your bromance? Or because I remember when we merged, me and Mark, we tried to pretend like we weren't, like, such good friends.
We did speak about it, but then what helped us was, even though we were as close as we were and not changing anything, everyone else thought me and Warda were the two. So they just always saw Kieran as a third wheel, which helped us, because he wasn't the third wheel. He's actually my best friend. You know, so we didn't have to move away from one another, because everybody already had the wrong perception of our dynamic.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's a nice little blindsided there from your side, Tyson. Talking about a blindside, though, what are they getting voted out and not expecting it? What is the feeling in that council, the jury council, when she had to pack her stuff and leave for the second time in the show?
We had an idea that, like, if it's going to be someone, it has to be Wardo Kieran, because it made sense. Like, they were the closest to me, and Chappies was against me. But like, Warda and Chappies, really, at some point there was friction there, and they left on a bad note. So I knew that Warda was going to be voted out. It made sense. So I wasn't surprised by it. But like, I think that most people knew that it was going to go that way. I feel it wasn't a surprise. I'll put it that way.
I think she knew it as well. And I think she was dreading, as soon as that sort of part of the clue was revealed, she was like, oh, shit, here it goes. I'm gonna pack my stuff.
Yeah.
Did everyone feel that?
I knew exactly what was going on. Yeah, I think everyone felt that. Like, I don't think anyone outside of maybe Sean or Renee, I don't know, because I saw them like hugging each other just before the name was read or whatever. But I didn't think anybody felt like they were more in danger than Warda, because Warda had actual friction with this person who now has to vote a jury member off.
Yeah, I know, watching it from my side as well, I thought, thank flip, they didn't have this advantage or this thing in my season, because I would have gone home. They would have sucked. It would have been either me or Meryl, but one of the two of us was going home. So rather Warda than me.
All right, gentlemen. So I'm gonna count down from three, and you're gonna say your Golden Spear nomination, but you gotta throw it, and there gotta be some sound effects. Okay, you ready? You got that? And you're creative director, Tyson. So I'm expecting something really colorful from your end. No pressure.
Okay. Yeah. Now you've just added pressure with that.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Chappers.
I didn't hear you.
Oh, Jeffrey. I think I was lying.
Where is the problem, Charles? What are we supposed to be doing right now?
Tyson, listen, Jeffrey left you hanging there, bro. I don't know about a future all-star lines here.
He left me hanging, Jeff. Oh, man.
I'm good for nothing.
All right. Well, congratulations, Chappies. He's cleaning up. And also, another thing to note, I mean, they speak about the amount of immunity challenges he's won. He's won now, tied record 5. Ashley Hayden also won 5. I think if he wins one more, and I think this is even in comparison to the American franchise, I think the record is 5 in total. He breaks the record. Yeah. So talking about no pressure, that's extra. And I think you talk about it. I think you said in your Ponderosa video, you were like, you know, he was all calm, he was very confident that this was the final three. Niku says the thing that he does, and now he gets all shook up. And I'm very curious to see how that plays out moving forward for his game in terms of the challenge. Because now, whatever you thought he had accomplished,
No, because like it goes back to the whole thing where he came back from Anesu breakfast, and he was just so relaxed and confident that the game is over. So I think he switched off for a little bit from his mentality, that mindset that he had. So the twist in itself is brilliant, because it shakes things up. And as someone who feels like you have it under control, you have it in the bag, and it gets taken away from you, or it gets shaken up, you can't not go into another challenge or go into another day of this game and not thinking that I need to get it back together again. So I'm interested to see how he does. Maybe he breaks the record. We're going to have to see.
You're going to watch it and see it. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm all for a South African breaking the record across all survivors, and that would be something. Time for the wooden spoon. This is obviously the moment of the show where the players made the worst move on the episode that we viewed last night. So, Tyson, Jeffrey opened up the last one. Let's hear your nominations. Who deserves the wooden spoon?
I'd give myself the wooden spoon.
Just there's the one. I'm giving it to myself.
I'd give it to myself because I, at the end of the day, made the wrong move. As much as I took a risk to try and win the game as opposed to evading defeat, it still was the wrong move, and I'm still the person whose torch got snubbed. So I read it wrong because of the context, but at the end of the day, I got voted out, so it has to be me.
Jeffrey, you want to elaborate?
No. I think you're being too diplomatic, Tyson. Either way, I'm going to say someone. You get to nominate yourself. This is rubbish.
So who do you nominate then?
Yes, it's difficult. I've been pondering over it as well. I don't really believe that anybody made like an awful move. I would have to choose. I know this is your buddy, Tyson. I'm feeling awful about this, but I think I would have to choose Anela only because of his opinion of himself. I think that he thinks that he played a much better game than he did.
Yeah, I mean, that is like a valid point, though. I'm still up. You know, if there's someone I'm rooting for, I'd love to see him in the final seat, just because I'd like to hear how he paints his picture and gets us to believe that he did what he did to get there. You know, I'm very curious from his lens, because from the lens we're seeing right now, he's third best out of the three that are left, in my opinion. I don't know if anyone agrees with that sentiment. Okay, you can't agree with that one.
So I was like, when you look at it, however you look at it, it's based on perspective, obviously, but I can't share how I feel about it. So we're just going to have to wait for Thursday.
Yeah, we'll wait for that one. Okay. So I think it might be what we had odds here with regards to the wooden spoon. I'm going to say it. And again, sound effects. We're going to go wah, 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 or whatever. And I've influenced you. That's not how we do research. But okay. I'm going to go sound effects. And I want to hear those names. But you know what? If you can do it and you do it better, then I'm all for that. You know, we're always going to improve. So.
I doubt I will.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Tyson.
Hello!
And also, don't be shy to tell us who you think deserves the wooden spoon in the comments there either. We're taking everything on board, and we'll see what happens at the end of the show. All right, but it's that time of the show now where we are discussing Storms Brewing. We've kind of overlapped it a little bit with the previous sections, but Storms are Brewing, all the predictions and what we think's coming. Tyson, I'm gonna eliminate you from this conversation briefly.
Yeah,
Jeffrey, what do you think's coming?
Oh, I don't know. I'm in two minds because I've already explained that I do believe that Chappies deserves to win. But I do believe whoever wins this next challenge is taking Anela with them because you would be very stupid not to. And I've seen Nicole at the balancing challenge and she's a beast. So it would be quite interesting to see her win, take Anela with her, and then I'm not even too sure who I'd be rooting for. In a perfect world, Chappies wins again and he wins because he deserves it.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, there's not much to talk about this. It's literally, we're going to start the show. It's going to go into it. It's going to be an endurance challenge. And then the rest is going to be the jury. And we're going to hear Tyson say why he will question whoever. We do have you from this perspective. You do touch from the Ponderosa that you're going to ask sort of fair questions. Are you going to come out? Are you going to be the type of juror that comes out with a blanket statement? Or is it going to be something where, you know, you're going to look for someone and tailor make the question for particular people?
I basically made the question to give both people a chance to pitch their game, because I felt like having been in that game for that long and being one of the people that spent the most time with each of these individuals in the game,
yeah,
I have a very good idea of what happened, how it happened, who did what. So it was, for me, I think it's similar to my Ponderosa video, that I want to give people a chance to claim what they were involved in and what happened just because they were there. Because there's a difference between initiating things or feeling like this was your move or you did this versus just being around because you were saying anybody else but me or anything that you might have done in the game. If it was intentional, and if you're claiming it as a part of your game. So that was the whole thing, like, pitch your game. What was intentional and why do you deserve the win? Like, I don't think that's the exact question, but it was round about those lines, like giving both people a chance to basically pitch.
Yeah, and that's fair. So I think it's safe to say that Tyson's not going to be a bitter juror. I think that's what you're pretty much saying, yeah? I think that's fair.
we'll see. I'm not saying
we'll
that.
See.
I'm saying we'll see. But I gave the chance. We'll see.
All right. Final thoughts, gentlemen. That was the Storms Brewing. Final thoughts in terms of, and this doesn't have to be Survivor related. It can be for anything and anyone. Jeffrey, you go ahead first, and then Tyson can round it up.
Yeah, I think I've just been so impressed with the season so far. I must be honest, I wasn't expecting much, maybe because we're all the hero of our own story. So I was like, oh, we got to go to Samoa. These poor guys are going to be in South Africa. And I've been blown away. The production value is always epic. I expected that. I just didn't expect the scenery to be as great as it is. And I think they've smashed it. It really looks as if you guys are right there in this amazing secluded island somewhere. So I've got to give them kudos for that. I'm also going to say well done, Claudio, on your vlog thing. It's actually pretty cool. Eh? I'm impressed. Like, this is like some high-end stuff. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
And
thank
I must
you.
Be
thank
honest, between me and you, your audition videos have been really good up until this point. I think you must get on next year. You made me scrick. You and Dino Mayu. I was like, both of these guys have my spot. There's no way they're going to cost three of us on the same show. So next year, it's yours.
Oh, nice. Thank you. So you know me from our audition days. So thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate that. Tyson, also, I don't know if at some point if you're going to release your audition video. I think people would like to see that. But yeah, plans of releasing that?
I can release it if people want to see it, but there's nothing special about mine. I was literally in my mom's kitchen and talking to the camera like I'm talking to you guys and explaining why I should be on the show. You know, I was basically talking, and that's what got me in. So maybe they saw something in me, and I appreciate them for giving me the opportunity.
You know what, there, Tyson, that's you just saying, you don't, despite being a creative director, you didn't need that. You were enough of a personality that it came across on screen, and I think that's incredible.
I basically relied on my personality and what I had to say, as opposed to trying to do extra stuff. I didn't, and another thing, like, I'd never seen a Survivor audition clip or anything like that. So I was just like, I don't want to do too much and look like I'm trying too hard. So I might as well just do this.
That's so epic. I feel as if you've got all the super fans that have been entering for years, like grinding their teeth now. They're like, what? But you've done so well. It's so cool that you were able to play such a good game without being such an intense super fan.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
No, definitely, Tyson. And I don't know if there's a parallel between you and the players that are left behind, but it's almost like, so Nicole, she says she wasn't the biggest of Survivor fans either. I think Anetta is similar. So it's almost like the players that weren't too invested knew how to manage their emotions to that point, if that makes sense. I don't know if you think, looking back at it, that was actually an advantage for you.
I definitely agree, because for me, it was an advantage in the sense that the risk that I took, I wasn't taking those risks with past Survivor moves in mind. I wasn't thinking of, oh, it went wrong for this person, it went wrong for that person, so it might go wrong. I wasn't thinking like that. I wasn't thinking like a person who's so involved in Survivor. Because, like, if, for example, when I got the clue for the idol from Paul that came from Santini, I went straight to look for it. I wasn't thinking these people are going to think I'm going to, I don't care. And that played to my advantage, because that idol saved me at the end. Had I thought about maybe not going for it, I wouldn't have gotten it. And maybe I wouldn't have gotten as far as I was. So I do think it was an advantage that I wasn't crippled by what other players had done and trying to do that or trying to avoid that. I was just being myself and adapting to things that were in front of me. And also another thing is that I feel like it's a social experiment and you played with different personalities each time. Just because Jeffrey did this with that person in his season doesn't mean it's going to work for me. I'm not playing with those same people and I'm not the same person anyway.
Yeah. And I think that's that you a make better distinction. Yeah, sorry, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yes, I just keep batting it.
No. It's not that. I think there's a lag on my side. So every time, I'm not getting the timing right this evening because there's a bit of a lag. But go ahead.
Shuck. No, what I was saying is I think you made such a valid point, because you go into the game. I went into the game as perceived as a threat because everybody knew that I was such a fan of the game. But in actual fact, also not knowing much of the intricacies. I mean, obviously, you've got to have your emotional, you know, you've got to be able to play that side of the game. But you didn't play too hard. And what happened, like with me, for instance, because I'd watched so much of it, I was so paranoid about what might happen. Or like I was trying to build a resume with that Nathan blindside before merge, which is so stupid. And you got to just sort of play it as it came, which is actually pretty cool. I always just assume that the super fans deserve to win.
I will say, though, Tyson knew his Survivor resume, though. So not being a big fan, but he knew what it took for a resume, which is quite interesting. Was that like an idea that was planted in before all players that you're playing with or something of a season?
No, it's because I'm surrounded by super fans and they keep talking about these things. I'm not saying anything. I'm just learning and I'm literally observing and picking up everything that these people around me are saying. It helped me having Kieran next to me, but then there's also Santini, who was, when she wasn't like holding everybody hostage or, you know, she was a person sharing stuff around camp. She'd talk around camp and talk about, Teresa was also a huge Survivor fan. Dino was a Survivor. So they'd all talk about these things that, like, you know, happened in Survivor. And I'm picking up before when the game started, I didn't know what merge was.
What?
And then Kieran,
you're killing me now, bro.
I'm telling you, I didn't know what merge was.
You didn't know Flint. You didn't know how to make a file of Flint. You didn't know what merge was. Yo, what
did you not? Did you not binge watch Survivor before?
Nah, I made a decision. Because I'd never watched a full season. I just all I knew was there's two tribes. They compete, and if you lose, someone goes home.
Yeah. You know?
So I never. But then the reason why I found out about merge was because Kieran. Kieran was obsessed with Steers, and he kept saying, I can't wait until we get to eat Steers. I can't wait until we get to have Steers. I'm like, when are we having Steers? Why would we have Steers? And it's like at Merge. I'm like, what's Merge? You know, so that's how I find out
that's
all
crazy.
Things that happen in the game. And I had to learn on my feet.
Oh, wow, man. Jeepers. I don't know. So Tuttle's our TNO resident. He's here making notes of every castaway, and he literally just said, note to self. He normally says, someone says something good, he goes, note to self. And this time he's like, note to self, forget everything you know about Survivor and just go out there and play. That's, you know, it makes your story even more incredible, Tyson. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, it allowed me to take so many risks and play a free game in like what I wanted to do. Like I literally moved to the beat of my own drum. Nobody convinced me of anything unless I wanted to do that. So that allowed me to sort of be as bold as I was. Had I watched Survivor, I wouldn't have went there and said, I don't care if you guys come for me either way and see if you can get me out. That was the attitude. But if I watched the season before, I would have known that don't make yourself the target. Try your best to move the target somewhere else. Don't bring it to you. And hide as much as you can until it's the perfect moment to strike. I never hid from anyone, you know? I just stood there and I was like, well, if they're scared, they're scared. But if they respect me, they respect me. But I'm not going to shrink for anyone. That's who I am as a person. But in a game like Survivor, it's not the best strategy. But I did it anyway.
Oh, dude, yeah, got you fourth place, and that's more than most. I don't know, Jeff, if there's one last thing you want to comment about his game. I don't know if he's still there. He seems to have frozen.
I'm not sure.
You're still there, Tyson?
Yeah, he's frozen. Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, you're still there. That's fine. Jeff, maybe we just wait a couple of seconds. Are we just going to wait for him to come back to say his thing? But yeah, Tyson, I mean, like when I'm looking back at it, fourth place. Not knowing much of the game before the game, partnering with someone who is very clued up on the game, like Akiran, huge credit to your game, even more for identifying that. And then also owning the resume talk in your confessionals that it looks like you're a super fan. Credit to that, man.
Thank you so much, bro. Like I knew I had to learn on my feet, and I'm glad, more than anything, I'm glad I was able to do that. Like, think on my feet and adapt, because I did come in the game saying that my biggest strength as a person is my ability to adapt. So the fact that I got in this game and I got the hang of it very early and I adapted to all these situations thrown at me, that's what I'm most impressed about in my game. Like, I knew I was a fighter, I knew I was resilient, but I had no idea it was like that. Like, because I just kept coming. So I'm happy about that part and the way I played it.
So then final, we're just going to leave a bit of like a teaser for everyone watching. If they do have an All-Stars, would you be open for that or open to that?
If they do have an All-Stars, I definitely want to be on that. Like, I'd love to play this game again.
Feel the heat coming from the TNO kitchen.
A lot of different ideas.
Oh, there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, to everyone who's been online, Najwa, Tato, Komahelo, Joseph, our residents, our locals, all here, Chris Dixon. Also, shout out Tyson. I don't know, Chris Dixon's watching this at 4 in the morning from down under Australia. So, I don't know, a little shout out there. But yeah, on that note, look out for Tyson. The
oh, hectic. Well, shout out, Chris. Shout out, Chris. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, so Tyson, I mean, it must have been.
I hope I get the call.
Yeah, dude, it must have been a long day for you, and I just want to say thank you for spending your Friday evening with the TNO fam.
Now, this was fun. Thank you so much for having me. Also, can you please post and tag me on the Terminator stuff? I want to save that picture. It looks badass.
Okay, I might have to like send it to you directly because I can't tag you. You're untaggable.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'll turn that on.
Oh, no, on Twitter. On Twitter. No, on Twitter, you're taggable. On Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. No, I'll do that. And everyone
else,
enjoy
your
Friday evening. And yeah, we'll see you for the finale. It's going to be exciting. Tune in.
It's going to be exciting. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. Cheers.